Aureliano II's old carousing comrades laid on his casket a wreath that had a purple ribbon with the words, "Cease, cows, life is short." Fernanda was so indignant with such irreverence that she had the wreath thrown onto the trash heap. In the tumult of the last moment, the sad drunkards who carried them out of the house got the coffins mixed up and buried them in the wrong graves. Aureliano did not leave Melquiades' room for a long time. He learned by heart the fantastic legends of the crumbling book, the synthesis of the studies of Hermann the Cripple, the notes on the science of demonology, the keys to the philosopher's stone, the centuries of Nostradamus, and his research concerning the plague, so that he reached adolescence without knowing a thing about his own time, but with the basic knowledge of a medieval man. Any time that Santa Sofia de la Piedad would go into his room, she would find him absorbed in his reading. At dawn, she would bring him a mug of coffee without sugar, and at noon, a plate of rice and slices of fried plantain, which were the only things eaten in the house since the death of Aureliano II. She saw that his hair was cut, picked off the nits, took into his size the old clothing that she found in forgotten trunks, and when his mustache began to appear, she brought him Colonel Aureliano Buendia's razor and the small gourd he had used as a shaving mug. None of the latter's children had looked so much like him, not even Aureliano Jose, particularly in respect to the prominent cheekbones and the firm and rather pitiless line of the lips, as had happened to Ursula with Aureliano II when the latter was studying in the room. Santa Sofia de la Piedad thought that Aureliano was talking to himself. Actually, he was talking to Melquiades. One burning noon, a short time after the death of the twins, against the light of the window he saw the gloomy old man with his crow's wing hat like the materialization of a memory that had been in his head since long before he was born. Aureliano had finished classifying the alphabet of the parchments, so that when Melquiades asked him if he had discovered the language in which they had been written, he did not hesitate to answer. "Sanskrit," he said. Melquiades revealed to him that his opportunities to return to the room were limited, but he would go in peace to the meadows of the ultimate death, because Aureliano would have time to learn Sanskrit during the years remaining until the parchments became 100 years old, when they could be deciphered. It was he who indicated to Aureliano that on the narrow street going down to the river, where dreams had been interpreted during the time of the Banana Company, a wise Catalonian had a bookstore where there was a Sanskrit primer, which would be eaten by the moths within 6 years if he did not hurry to buy it. For the first time in her long life, Santa Sofia de la Piedad let a feeling show through, and it was a feeling of wonderment, when Aureliano asked her to bring him the book that could be found between Jerusalem Delivered and Milton's Poems on the extreme right-hand side of the second shelf of the bookcases. Since she could not read, she memorized what he had said and got some money by selling one of the 17 little gold fishes left in the workshop, the whereabouts of which, after being hidden the night the soldiers searched the house, was known only by her and Aureliano. Aureliano made progress in his studies of Sanskrit as Melquiades's visits became less and less frequent, and he was more distant, fading away in the radiant light of noon. The last time that Aureliano sensed him, he was only an invisible presence who murmured, "I died of fever on the sands of Singapore." The room then became vulnerable to dust, heat, termites, red ants, and moths, who would turn the wisdom of the parchments into sawdust. There was no shortage of food in the house. The day after the death of Aureliano II, one of the friends who had brought the wreath with the irreverent inscription offered to pay Fernanda some money that he had owed her husband. After that, every Wednesday a delivery boy brought a basket of food that was quite sufficient for a week. No one ever knew that those provisions were being sent by Petracotes with the idea that the continuing charity was a way of humiliating the person who had humiliated her. Nevertheless, the rancor disappeared much sooner than she herself had expected, and then she continued sending the food out of pride, and finally out of compassion. Several times, when she had no animals to raffle off and people lost interest in the lottery, she went without food so that Fernanda could have something to eat, and she continued fulfilling the pledge to herself until she saw Fernanda's funeral procession pass by.